Hello everyone, I'm going to start off with discussing my being an intimacy professional, and then I'll work my way up. So, I thought about one of the reasons why I'm permanently single, permanently pet-free, permanently child-free, and permanently living alone. Primarily, because as an intimacy professional, I'm not your typical intimacy professional. I'll be your atypical intimacy professional because I'm not just called to provide empathy, eroticism, neighborly sensuality, servant leadership, sexuality to televised sex, filmographic sex, and adult movie sex. But I'm also called to provide empathy, eroticism, neighborly sensuality, and servant leadership sexuality to the world of ethical adult sex tourism, group sex environments, two people sex environments, and the sex industry. Because each of these world's dynamics with sex, I'm in high demand because the element of neurodiversity and relations is absent. The correlation between surviving abuse and thriving after abuse, alongside skin to skin contact, is absent as well. So most intimacy professionals, I may be the only one, but no other intimacy professional has an extraordinary sexual assignment placed upon their lives, except me. So my intimacy professional it extends beyond just the media. It extends to real life erotic sceneries, because all these kinds of environments and all these kinds of people have erotic traumas, sensual scars, and sexual horror stories. Don't get me wrong. Group sex environments, sex industry, two people sex environments, are positive parts of life. And most of the people in those environments are level-headed human decency practitioners. And they apply that to sex too. And most people on adult film sets, television and movies that feature sex sometimes, most of the people in those parts of life are positive too. And most of the people in those environments are also level-headed human decency practitioners. What I'm saying is this. Is that many of the people in all these environments are wondering, how do I provide multiple full body orgasms to autistic adults? And how do I provide multiple full body orgasms to abuse survivor adults? Many people think these things, but they may not say these things, while other people are saying these things, not just thinking these things. So, how does this all relate to my marital status? Well, that will take up plenty of my time. And plus, don't get me wrong, intimacy professionals can have thriving marriages. For me, though, I'm called to do, when I say called, meaning I know that I'm naturally geared toward these things. Because these things are some of the innate parts of who and what I am as a fully human being. So, honestly, for myself, I know that constantly being around nudity, real life sex, unsimulated sex, simulated sex, and making sure the actors and actresses are abiding by the sex scene, love scene, erotic film scene type of protocol, and seeing the touch part of sex, taste part of sex, hearing part of sex, smell part of sex, and sight part of sex, I honestly think would be too taxing on my spouse. That does not mean we wouldn't have a sex life. It just means that that can be too much for a spouse, because it could be uncomfortable. You know that your spouse is not cheating, but at the same time, you feel like you're more exposed to other people's sex having than our individual private sex having. And no, this has nothing to do with the traumas of my past. I'm focusing on the future. I understand wholesome sex exposure. And I know the difference between that and traumatic rape culture exposure. I know the difference. I have the discernible distinction. What I'm saying is, I don't think a spouse would appreciate it, because I'm caring about how it make them feel, right? And then it would be too taxing on the children. They would never be exposed to it. What I'm saying is that constantly having a parent that is around every week seeing a lot of sex can be very uncomfortable, even for children. And yes, I'm age appropriate, and I'm intellectually appropriate, emotionally appropriate, and psychologically appropriate with children. And I value the inner lives and outer lives of children wholesomely. What I'm saying is, I had to think about my children, like, being old enough to know about this stuff. That's what I mean. They would feel turmoil and conflict about what I'm doing. What I'm doing is not wrong, but no child of age wants to associate body to body with their parents, you know. And then as for pets, I feel like I would have to take my pet everywhere with me, because you can't always leave a pet in the home by themselves, because at some point the pet needs water, the pet needs food, the pet needs sleep, the pet needs a pooper scooper, picking shit up. And the pets need you to clean up their fur balls, the dust that's on them, germs, bacteria from outside. They need baths. They need veterinarian treatment from time to time. And they also need shelter. After a while, how do you get the pet to go to sleep? They can't be up all the time. So to constantly take my pet to sensual areas that could ruin the sex. Imagine the pet ruining the sex, because they would have to constantly stop having sex to make sure, is Antonio's pet okay? Will Antonio's pet be quiet? Will Antonio's pet cause allergies? Will Antonio's pet, out of fear, start biting people's genitalias off while they're in the middle of getting frisky and risque with each other? You know, of course I have a well-trained pet, but those are legitimate concerns. And so I decided, in order for me to have that as one of the callings upon my life, I use that non-religiously, that's one of the reasons why I decided never to spouse, never to fatherhood, never to parentage, never to marriage, never to pet owning, never to having pets, right? Because I said, it's much easier, smoother, much more soothing to do all my callings without constantly having to bring my spouse and pets to the studios. Because I said, also, I can't take my children with me because it's awkward, and I don't want to have law enforcement up my ass, and it's unethical because there's just certain things you don't do with your parent, and being in an environment of uncut copulation, it's not something you take your children with you to be exposed to. And as for the spouse, what spouse wants to watch their spouse watch other people have sex and to help them to have sex correctly, meaning humanely? And the spouse's mind is like, we could be having our own sex scenes at home instead of you lovingly interject to make sure that the sex that's transpiring is of benevolence, not malevolence. And we could be having benevolent sex at home, but you want to protect people from malevolent sex along with the film crew for the company. So I had to think about that and say, well, being a confirmed bachelor for life, solo living for life, not reproducing for life, raising myself instead of animals for life, is the only way that I can be fully appropriate and not have to worry about tampering with anybody's humanity. What that means is without causing hypervigilance nor acute stress disorder to happen to anybody else, not even myself. So I love being a realist. I love being a pragmatist, and I love being practical. I love practicality, I love pragmatism. I love realism. I'm very detail-oriented. It's an autistic trait. I'm in love with logistics. So I carefully plan out things. So I decided, here's what I mean about providing intimacy professionalism in all these places, especially the ethical adult sex tourism type places, the group sex environments, the two people environments, the sex industry, like I said. Also because there are many people in need of my intimacy professionalism for this, for these new reasons. One, they may not understand how to be mindful of erotic word choices, erotic tone of voices, erotic gestures to a person that's considered disabled by society, to a person that was traumatized by rape culture tone of voices, rape culture word choices, and rape culture gestures. And they may want to know, okay, how can I choose erotic facial expressions over rape culture facial expressions? How can I choose erotic nonverbal communication over rape culture nonverbal communication? And how can I choose erotic sex positions over rape culture positions that are conflated with sex positions? How can I choose erotic sex acts that are confused with rape culture acts that are wrongly called sex acts? So these environments need these particular training. And the television, movie, adult film sets need these kind of training too. And that's where I come in. I watch them have sex. I give erotic constructive criticism, not rape culture criticism. And I give them erotic tips, not quote unquote, air quotes, rape culture tips. I'm not being funny when I say that. I am mocking those who think rape culture is cool. I am appropriately mocking them because they deserve it. And I would also help them with speed, tempo, timbre, time, flowetry, rhythm, cadence, energy, aura, presence, contact. I would help them do all these things from an eroticism standpoint instead of a rape culture standpoint. So, also, it would be uncomfortable for any spouse for me in particular to be approached by many adults in all these environments who may want to have what I teach them for me to personally act these things out with them. In other words, it could be uncomfortable for any spouse, any child of age, hell, even some pets, to witness many of these grown adults saying, "Hey, Antonio, you want to have empathy, eroticism with us? You want to have neighborly sensuality with us? You want to have servant leadership sexuality with us?" In layman's terms, hey, what you teach us, we want you to have sex with us to demonstrate what you're teaching to us. That would be uncomfortable for all these parties involved. Spouse, children of age, the pets. Because in these environments, sex invitations are normalized. It's considered weird and taboo not to invite everyone there for some kind of sexual experiences because that's what they're designed for. So I decided that no family should have that burden. And they're not asking you to be disrespectful, but because in their minds, we love Antonio as a person. Number two, we love that he's helping us to be more gentle and generous with people that society has flippantly dismissed. And three, he's extremely easy on the eyes as the extra bonus. So because of that, some people will get attracted. And it's not bad because when somebody invites you for sex in those environments, it has everything to do with I know your character and I appreciate it. I want to know your flesh because I appreciate that as the last thing on my "what I appreciate about you, Antonio" list. It's a form of having a connection of the heart, not just connection of the parts. You get connection of the parts because you get connection of the heart. So don't get me wrong, There are plenty of people in these environments that don't have sex. Some show up because they'd rather watch than actually have sex. And not every person gets invited to have sex in these environments. That's true too, but because I'm a rare breed, I may get the most sex offers. When you don't remind everyone else of everyone else, you give them something that's never been offered before, human nature is going to say, well, Antonio, you know, yes, I know that other neurodivergent adults and other adults who have overcome violent offenses will show up. And however, since you're a person that fits both categories, neurodivergence, overcoming violent offenses, you're the perfect person for us to personally teach us. They'll say, well, what better way can we learn it than actually do everything you're teaching us while you fully pleasure us, while we fully pleasure you? We want personal, firsthand knowledge of what you're saying, because some of us are tactile learners, some of us are auditory learners, some of us are kinesthetic learners, some of us are visual learners. So we need to do more than just hear what you're saying. We need to fully experience what you're saying. That may happen. Now you understand more of why I cannot be a family man. In the typical sense. You know, spouse, children, pets, what have you. And it wouldn't be a conflict of interest, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm not coming to them as a superior. I'm coming to them as an equal. And coming into these environments financially, I'm already taken care of. So I'm not seeking money from the people that are learning these healthy sexual life lessons from me. I'm just glad that they're there, and I'm just there to help. I'm not looking for money from them because I'm already compensated fairly and well. So I'm not looking for any more money. Because these environments will go, okay, Antonio, we want to respect your time, and here's a healthy amount of money. So I would get the money from leadership. I don't want money from the people I'm helping. I'm like, leadership takes care of me. I'm just helping out. So that way, when I help out, I've already deposited money in my bank account, so I can freely help them without charging them anything, because my bank account is happy. So that's why it's not a conflict of interest. It would be if the patrons, meaning the people coming to learn, if they paid me, it would be a conflict of interest to teach them these vital fleshly blueprints and them approaching me sexually. Because again, these are sexual realms, right? So in sexual realms, You're expected to have somebody hit on you. Not abusively, but flirtatiously. Meaning, you want to play on my grown-up playground? It's expected. If you don't want that to happen to you, don't show up in these environments ever. Right? So, it's not unethical. I've really thought this through and I said, it's not unethical. Because, again, when you get that kind of attention, it's more than just your looks. It's a part of it. But it's more about, I just enjoy the rock solid inner life that you have. And that makes you way more good looking than most good looking people out here. So that's the psychology of these sexual environments. It's character and appearance. It's the content of your character and the content of your looks that go hand in hand in these environments. That's why you can't just have looks in these environments. That's just how it works. So you're wondering, well, Antonio, how would you respond if you get that offer? Here's how I respond. I think I answered it before, but let me give you a new answer. What I would do is make it clear to the patrons, but to the people learning there. I would let them know ahead of time that I come to you as an equal. And I'm going to tell you something you already know. It needs to be said for the sake of honor, respect, and reverence. Non-religious terms here. I would say to them that I am just as sensitive to you as you are to me. I would tell them I would never say or do anything to put any of us in bad situations. I would say to them, you know, we would never say or do anything to put us in bad situations. We would never say or do anything that would jeopardize our personal lives, our professional lives. And I would say that we're not taking advantage of each other. We're not doormatting each other. We're not psychologically manipulating each other. We're not being each other's pushovers. And we're not violating each other's confidentiality. We're not violating each other's privacy. And we're not jeopardizing the other relationships personally, professionally in both of our lives. So I would set those boundaries, those parameters, as soon as I'll come through the door. And I would say to them, hey, just know that we're not enslaving each other any type of way. There's no harassment between us. There's no assault between us. There's no abuse between us. There's no violence between us. There's no misconduct between us. There's no bullying between us, no trauma between us, no crime between us, no unethicalness between us, you know. There's age of consent honoring between us. There's enthusiastic, well-informed reciprocity between us. And I would say to them, and they would appreciate what they're hearing because they already know these things about me since I come to, before I come to the door, I would say it anyway, for the sake of, you know, compassion. I would say to them that we're on the same side, we're playing for the same team. We have equilibrium, we have equity. We have symmetry between us. And I would tell them that you and I have the kind of rapport where at any time, anywhere that you feel like we bothered each other or made each other uncomfortable in any kind of way, we can stop whatever is happening. And at any time, if any of us feel like there's something we can't do anymore, we can say it. And what we're saying to each other is not questioned. I just accept what's right for you. You accept what's right for me. And I give you that kind of courtesy. And we don't resume it anymore. If you want to resume it, let me know ASAP as soon as possible. That's the kind of rapport I would have with them. And I would also say, in response to, okay, Tony, would you take their sex offer? Here's my new answer. So I would definitely do background checks of all of these environments, making sure they're in right standing with the law, with reason, and they're all reputable, of awesome repute, and I would make sure that none of them are of ill repute, because none of them can be disreputable, period. So if they pass all these background checks and we are perfectly compatible and perfectly of chemistry when it comes to wisdom living, kindness living, no nonsense living, self-care living, self-control living, then yes, I would have sex with them. Them, meaning the Antonios of the world, people like me. So, to fully answer the question directly, would I have sex? Well, the question is directly, to be grammatically correct. Would I have sex with the Antonios of the world in the form of porn performers and adult film sets? Yes. Would I have sex with the Antonios of the world in group sex environments? Yes. Would I have sex with the Antonios of the world in the two people sex environments? Yes. Would I have sex with the Antonios of the world in the ethical adult sex tourism sceneries? Yes. And would I have sex with the Antonios of the world in the sex industry sceneries? Yes, I would, because soft-hearted misfits are 100% a correct match for other soft-hearted misfits, because we would already meet each other with 100% sensitivity, 100% gentleness, 100% generosity, 100% soothingness, 100% smoothness regarding each other verbally and non-verbally. So to me, it would not be wrong at all to have sex with them, because I'm not using my title nor my position to have sex with them. It's I'm providing a paid for service by the entities. So what I do with them after the lessons are taught is not on the company's time, because these companies would, and I would have that arrangement. Hey, anything I do with the people I'm teaching is outside of the company hours. So they wouldn't mind having their studios open a little longer because, well, it's Antonio, you know. Antonio's, you know, he's providing neurodiverse and abuse survivor quality of life regarding the senses, regarding the heart, the mind, the inner life, the body, the memories. So they would have their hours open a little bit longer, but it wouldn't be on company time. It's more of, hey, you know, you did your professionalism for the day and we all appreciate you here and you appreciate all of us, and you know, we compensated you respectfully. So it would be more like, well, it's more just professional with us. We see you as a true friend. So you know how you can have healthy business arrangements with your true friends? Some people get to have that awesome luxury. Not everybody does. Not every friend you should do business with, because people have different business practices. That doesn't make them sketchy. That doesn't make them shady. That doesn't make them shysty. It's just people make money differently because you got different temperaments, different giftings, etc. So it would be more like, oh, since you did us a favor, we're going to do you a favor, right? Since you came in here, taught the people, and they're experiencing that sense of poetic connectivity, what you're saying, and we compensated you, and you're also bringing in more people because word of mouth, social media, and more people are coming to us, we'll let you and the people in these environments do as y'all damn well please, since class is over for today and gone ahead. It would be that kind of arrangement. So no, there's nothing barbaric about that I can tell you. And to me, it's in alignment with democracy, because no one would experience subjugation. No one would experience dishonorable disorderliness. And I can also, you know, guarantee that nothing unscrupulous would happen. So it's fine. I don't think I would lose my license at all, because the way I carry myself, no one would think we gotta take his license away. It's more of, this is the arrangement. This is what we had, and nobody's harmed by this, and all the protocols have been met. I just have to do more intimacy professionalism work than most of y'all. Talking to veterans and people starting intimacy professionalism work, I'm like, I have more responsibilities in this world because my life is different than y'all's. Y'all just stick to the screens when it comes to sex scenes. Mine is the screens and these other environments that are looking for a person like me to, you know, be sexually therapeutic and essentially cathartic and erotically, in certain cases, curative. I'm not talking about disease, I'm talking about attitudes. And I think I would be fine. I'll be more than just fine. I would be more than just A-okay, that I can tell you. These are all magnificent marvelousness that I can tell you too. So, as for my sex surrogate partner therapy thing, that's the next thing I want to address. I'm addressing things one at a time. So when it comes to that, it's not treating somebody from a ignoble standpoint. In reality, it is the realization that it's more about body positivity . It's about heart positivity, soul positivity, memories positivity, and mind positivity. You can apply all these positivities to eroticism, sensuality, and sexuality. And it's not even about sex. It's about teaching people how to be sensitive lovers to themselves so they can be sensitive lovers to other people. They can be sensitive lovers to another. And before you get to the sex, meaning the physical sex, you have to first achieve the psychological sex, the emotional sex, the academic sex, adults only, the internal sex, the cognitive sex, the intellectual sex. That's what sex surrogate partner therapy is about. So for me, I thought about it, and the tutorials, I'm still sticking by that. But also, I have something new to tell you, that when it comes to sex surrogate partner therapy, and I took a quiet in the podcast just now because I get my thoughts together. So when I'm quiet, you know I'm about to say something profoundly gorgeous. Sex surrogate partner therapy is about overcoming acute traumas of the body, heart, mind, and soul, and memories. It's about overcoming chronic trauma of the heart, mind, body, souls, and memories. It's about overcoming complex trauma of the heart, mind, body, souls, and memories. It's about overcoming the compound trauma of the heart, mind, body, souls, and memories. It's about overcoming the secondary trauma of the heart, mind, body, souls, and memories. It's about overcoming the vicarious trauma of the heart, mind, body, souls, and memories. And remember, it's about overcoming the complex trauma of the heart, mind, body, soul, and memories. It's about befriending self-touch and the touch of others. It's about befriending the self-taste and the taste of others. It's about befriending the self-sight and the sight of others. It's about befriending the self-smells and the smells of others. It's about befriending the self-hearing and the hearing of others. So, the sex surrogate partner therapy world fits me. Even if I was never traumatized, it perfectly fits me intrinsically. And I know that I'm called to do the tutorials in videographic form, but I'm also called to do that particular line of work. So yes, I am still going to meet all the requirements of the IPSA, which means International Professional Surrogate Association. I decided to be a sex surrogate partner. So yes, that is what I meant to do. And besides, remember, it's supervised with my self-declining therapist, so it's fine. And so you're wondering, how would intimacy professionals feel about me in these sex environments? You know, well, I'm a reputable person. So if I do it, it's not bad. Because I would never jeopardize them. They would never jeopardize me. We would never jeopardize anybody. And the people I'm with would never jeopardize me and the people I'm with in return too. I would explain that, yes, I do give the mature way of bringing professional surrogacy to that world, but I come to them as a peer, not as a superior. And plus, no one is experiencing mind games. There's no mind control, no mind abuse, so it wouldn't be a problem. It's a healthy mixture of business with healthy pleasure. Because you got healthy business, healthy pleasure. It's a rare breed of healthy business, healthy pleasure. You get a healthy mixture of the two. And I'm not sexually desperate. I'm not using anybody for sex. I'm not one of those, I have to rely on sex workers for sex. I don't. I don't diss people that do. That's just not my reality. And I don't rely on anybody for sex. Oh my God, you're the end-all be-all for sex with me. No. I attract people for free and usually have sex for free. These are just lovely bonuses, sexually speaking. But when it comes to the IPSA, I just do it the way they train me to. So I don't violate any protocols, any criteria at all. It's just nobody would apply that to me because I don't go out of my way to disrupt anybody. So the IPSA for myself, I would, with IPSA, I don't think they would be upset with me, because again, they, and other intimacy professionals too, would be like, well, you know, Antonio does have that effect on people, so I can't be upset. It just naturally affects people, and he's sexually philanthropic, essentially humanitarian, and erotically charitable. So it's not, oh, Antonio's getting his rocks off. They would go, well, he's doing what he's doing outside of our association hours, our professional time frame, so they wouldn't have a problem. It's not like, oh my God, you're fucking around, literally. You're supposed to be working. It's not that. It's more of, hey, it's outside of work. There's no authorities beating down our door, and you're helping us out financially, you're helping us out in terms of increasing our audience and increasing healthy interest in us. They would not care. They're like, Tony, just keep being you. And law enforcement would go, I love Antonio. I'm gonna make sure none of us mess with him. That's how it would be. Plus, I feel like sex surrogate partner therapy and the family man life would not mix well, for the obvious reasoning. Now, next agenda item on the list is adult films. Whew. And I thought a lot about this one. I'll get to webcam modeling after, and then we'll end the episode. Let's do the adult films one, okay? Yes, I decided to do adult films, but I'm not doing it the typical way. I'm doing it the atypical way. Because when people think of adult films, they think of sexual theatricality and erotic performativity. That's not the kind of adult films I want to do, and that's not the kind of adult films I need to do. Because there is a healthy high demand for verbal erotic kindliness, verbal erotic kindheartedness, verbal erotic warmheartedness, verbal erotic tenderheartedness, verbal erotic goodwill, verbal erotic affectionateness, verbal erotic affection, verbal erotic warmth, verbal erotic gentleness, verbal erotic tenderness, verbal erotic concern, verbal erotic care, verbal erotic consideration, verbal erotic considerateness, verbal erotic helpfulness, verbal erotic thoughtfulness, verbal erotic unselfishness, verbal erotic selflessness, verbal erotic altruism, verbal erotic compassion, verbal erotic sympathy, verbal erotic understanding, verbal erotic big-heartedness, verbal erotic benevolence, verbal erotic benignity, verbal erotic friendliness, verbal erotic neighborliness, verbal erotic hospitality, verbal erotic amiability, verbal erotic courteousness, verbal erotic public-spiritedness, verbal erotic generosity, verbal erotic magnanimity, verbal erotic indulgence, verbal erotic patience, verbal erotic tolerance, verbal erotic charitableness, verbal erotic graciousness, verbal erotic lenience, verbal erotic humaneness, verbal erotic mercifulness, verbal erotic decency, verbal erotic bounteousness, because they are sick and tired of the verbal erotic unkindness and verbal erotic meanness. They have a yearning for verbal erotic kind acts, verbal erotic good deeds, verbal erotic acts of kindness, verbal erotic good turns, verbal erotic favors, verbal erotic acts of assistance, verbal erotic service, verbal erotic help, verbal erotic aid, because they are weary of verbal erotic disservice. They want the verbal erotic quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate in terms of verbal eroticism. They have a necessity for verbal erotic kindness. And they also have in healthy high demand isn't it good to change up? It is. Here we go. They also have a healthy high demand for nonverbal erotic kindness. The nonverbal erotic quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate in terms of nonverbal eroticism. Nonverbal erotic kindliness, nonverbal erotic kindheartedness, nonverbal erotic warmheartedness, nonverbal erotic tenderheartedness, nonverbal erotic goodwill, nonverbal erotic affectionateness, nonverbal erotic affection, nonverbal erotic warmth, nonverbal erotic gentleness, nonverbal erotic tenderness, nonverbal erotic concern, nonverbal erotic care, nonverbal erotic consideration, nonverbal erotic considerateness, nonverbal erotic helpfulness, nonverbal erotic thoughtfulness, nonverbal erotic unselfishness, nonverbal erotic selflessness, nonverbal erotic altruism, nonverbal erotic compassion, nonverbal erotic sympathy, nonverbal erotic understanding, nonverbal erotic big-heartedness, nonverbal erotic benevolence, nonverbal erotic benignity, nonverbal erotic friendliness, nonverbal erotic neighborliness, nonverbal erotic hospitality, nonverbal erotic amiability, nonverbal erotic courteousness, nonverbal erotic public spiritedness, nonverbal erotic generosity, nonverbal erotic magnanimity, nonverbal erotic indulgence, nonverbal erotic patience, nonverbal erotic tolerance, nonverbal erotic charitableness, nonverbal erotic graciousness, nonverbal erotic lenience, nonverbal erotic humaneness, nonverbal erotic mercifulness, nonverbal erotic decency, nonverbal erotic bounteousness, because they've had it up to here with nonverbal erotic unkindness, nonverbal erotic meanness, because they have a craving for nonverbal erotic kind acts, nonverbal erotic good deeds, nonverbal erotic acts of kindness, nonverbal erotic good turns, nonverbal erotic favors, nonverbal erotic acts of assistance, nonverbal erotic service, nonverbal erotic help, nonverbal erotic aid, because they're saying no more nonverbal erotic disservice. That sums up my life in the adult film world. So yes, I will do these kinds of adult films that perfectly and accurately display healthy verbal eroticism and healthy nonverbal eroticism too. Before I go any further to webcam model point, I must say that I am a person of sexual moderation, sensual moderation, and erotic moderation on camera, off camera. Now let's go to the grand finale, the webcam modeling portion, shall we? So I decided to do webcam modeling. I want to say this, I'm not into nonverbal sexual theatricality, just like I'm not into verbal sexual theatricality. I'm not into nonverbal sexual performativity, just like I'm not into verbal sexual performativity. And to me, I'm not fixated on sexual acrobatics, sexual gymnastics, or the sexual Olympics. Like, I'm not into the whole like verbal sexual Olympics, nonverbal sexual Olympics, nonverbal sexual gymnastics, verbal sexual gymnastics, or, you know, the nonverbal sexual acrobatics and verbal sexual acrobatics. That none of those things have anything to do with me. But what I will say is that my webcam modeling is not about being raunchy for the sake of being raunchy, or risque for the sake of being risque, or frisky for the sake of being frisky, or naughty for the sake of naughty. I'm not about being a verbal sexual shock jock. I'm not even into being a nonverbal sexual shock jock. But I also don't want to portray myself as a person that is incapable of sexual, sensory, or incapable of providing, being holistically sexual to those who've been sex crimed. And I'll say this, that my webcam modeling is about wholesome sensuality views, wholesome sensuality understanding, wholesome sensuality thoughts, wholesome sensuality intentions, wholesome sensuality speech, wholesome sensuality actions, wholesome sensuality livelihood, wholesome sensuality efforts, wholesome sensuality mindfulness, wholesome sensuality concentration. I feel that those are in healthy high demand in the webcam modeling world, and I'm able to provide cognitively, correctly, these healthy high demands that I can 100% be a fulfillment of. So that is the perfect ending of this episode.